a beautiful day we've had, still have even this evening, huh? Beautiful. Wonderful. So this evening our theme is Grow in Grace. So it's going to be a great topic and discussion. I think that there might be some new thoughts for you about God's grace, something that I've been studying for, Christy and I have been studying for some time, and we'll do some experiences along the way, which we always like to do. At Thirst, things that help us to quiet our heart before God and meditate on the scripture and listen to him, and he'll have some opportunities to share with one another also, encourage each other what God is teaching us, showing us. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh God, we give you thanks that you are a God of grace, and we are here to learn more about that and to see if we can't inch our way into maybe a closer contact with you and a greater openness deep in our hearts to your grace, your goodness, and your mercy, your power might come flowing into us and through us. So we look to you, Jesus, to be our teacher this evening. Thank you that you are present here in our midst, and that's the best thing we can do is pay attention to you. So we're listening, Lord. We're seeking to learn from you, to be more like you. We want to be agents of your grace to people around us in our lives. So we thank you. We look forward to how your hand will move in our midst even this evening. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Amen. So grow in grace. And the theme scripture we're going to use is very familiar to all of us, but we're going to talk about it in some different ways and bring in some different scriptures. You have it on the top of your outline, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. It's something that many of us, if you've grown up in the church, you've grown up with the scripture, and I know I did. I remember Mom and Dad, you teaching me that. It was very helpful to me in understanding that we're saved by grace and not by works. But there's an interesting relationship between grace and works, between God's mercy and kindness and goodness and our response to that, and our part, the things that we're to be responsible for. And it plays out in the Ephesians passage, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I forgot that part. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This verse is a great example that we see throughout Scripture of the interplay between God's part in the spiritual life and our part. And one year I really immersed myself in studying this, and I actually went through my daily Bible reading, and I read through the Bible, which I've done many times. This particular year as I did that, I studied this relationship between God's initiative and our response. And so what I did was, in every Bible verse, every part of the Bible verse, that was emphasizing God's activity. He speaks. He saves. He reaches out into our lives. He teaches. He commands. He empowers. And different things that are speaking about the character of God and what God is doing to run the universe and to care for us. I underlined that in blue. And then I went through at the same time and I looked at, well, what is my part in my relationship with God and in life, and things that refer to my obedience, the things that I'm responsible for. I need to listen to the Lord. I need to follow him. Different things like this. I underlined that in red. So blue underlines for God's part, red underlines for my part. And it's a very interesting thing if you look at that Bible and you see the interchange of the red and the blue. Every page has red and blue on it. And if we just look at this verse, if you were to do that, you would underline in blue, for by grace you have been saved. That would be, that's what God's doing. That's God. But then you would underline in red, through faith. I mean, God's not going to have faith for you. I mean, he inspires it for us, certainly. And in one sense, it's a gift. You know, we can't get faith on our own. We even need God to help us with that. But he's not going to do it for us. We're not robots. So faith is our response to God's initiative. And then Paul's emphasizing God's grace in the next sentence there. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. You know, so all that is just emphasizing that first part. This, you're saved by grace. And then the next sentence, for we are his workmanship. So we'd underline that in blue. That's God's part. He's working with our character to make us his workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus. Again, that's God's activity, creation and recreation and redemption. Then for good works. Now we would underline that in red. That's our response. That's what there's work for us to do. There's love, you know, people for us to love and care for and encourage, which God prepared beforehand. We'd underline that in blue. God's preparing beforehand things for us to do. I mean, even each day, God is going before us and preparing before us things for us to do with him. And then, well, that we should walk in these works that he's setting us up for. Well, we would underline that in red. So, I mean, isn't that interesting just in these three verses? You just see all that back and forth there. God's initiative, my response. God's leading, my following. And this is really one of the great keys, I believe, in understanding the spiritual life in Christ, is this interaction. And it's personal relationships work in such a way that you just can't, you can't like dice it up neatly and sort of mechanically, like we might, like an engineer might, like we like to do in our scientific, rational mindset in America. Well, A leads to B leads to C. You can't do that with the spiritual life and really with any relationship. It's just too intertwined, too messy, too back and forth. So we see that here in the way that God's grace works with us. So let's ask the question, what is grace? Because most of us have an immediate answer to that. If you've studied the Bible, Christian theology, God's grace is unmerited favor. Yeah. And that's true. Unmerited favor is a very important description for the generosity of God in our lives that saves us from sin, that opens the way to heaven for us, that imputes to us the righteousness of Christ that we didn't deserve, that we can't earn, we can't, you know, make that happen. God gives that to us simply as we trust him, even as Abraham trusted the Lord, as his friend trusted the Lord at his word, you know, way back thousands of years ago. So unmerited favor is true. However, the way that comes down to us is it's sort of like we envision this credit in our ledger. We've been given grace. So on the book in heaven for Bill Galtier, there's this positive record of Christ's righteousness. And so, you know, when I stand before the pearly gates, there's not going to be any reason for them not to let me in, because even though I'm a sinner, but this is what Christ has done for me, so I'm going to get let in. And our understanding of grace sort of gets limited to this idea of I'm going to get let into heaven, and I've got this wonderful credit of favor and I'm justified, you know, in the Lord. I'm still struggle with sin. Even I've been a Christian over 40 years, but there's still times that I slip up and I'm not loving and I sin. But yet still, God looks at Bill and he sees Jesus. So I have this credit of righteousness. I'm forgiven of my sins. And of course, this is essential. I mean, we can't have relationship with God. We can't have a fruitful life apart from forgiveness of our sins. But I want to suggest for us this evening that grace is much larger than forgiveness of sins. Much more robust than a credit on the books for our righteousness that enables us to be accepted. And I think that even in this verse that we use as a text to say, well, grace is unmerited favor, but if we really think about it, we'd say, well, no, there's more than that here, because this grace is somehow inspiring me and empowering me and enabling me to do good works. So I think it's helpful to think of grace as power God's power to serve him, to do work, to accomplish things, to deal with difficult situations, with trials and insecurities. So it's a lot larger than forgiveness. And a good definition would be grace is God acting in and through your life. Just think about that. Grace is God acting in and through your life. Or grace is generosity and power for living and for loving. So part of what's important here is that we need God's grace today, not just to get into heaven when we die. We need his grace for life today. Because we need his power. We need his strength to do the things that he's called us to do. What is faith? Let's take a minute and pause on that term. This is another word that might need some rehabilitation in our mindset, because we've tended to come to an understanding of faith that sort of limits faith to this intellectual set of beliefs and doctrines. So we've turned faith in the last couple generations or so, we've turned it into something that you can make a check mark on a box. You know, do you believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary? Check. You know, do you believe that he was the Son of God? Check. Do you believe that he's, you know, died for you in your place, so you're forgiven of your sins? You know, check. You go through it, and do you believe these doctrines? Do you believe the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, check. Okay, you've got faith. You're going to be let in to heaven. You've got eternal security because you intellectually you believe these creeds and these statements. Well, these are important doctrines, and there are others that are important as well. But is that primarily what the Bible is referring to when the Bible talks about faith? I think the Bible has something much larger in mind. God has something much, you know, what was the faith that Abraham had, that he's the father of faith? Well, it was friendship with God. It was intimacy with God. It was trust. A really good word for faith is trust. And that's a great way for us to read our Bibles. And we really need to do this kind of thing when we read the Scripture, or it just doesn't penetrate our hearts. We need to meditate on it. And a beginning way of meditating is just to really think about it, just to ponder, what does this mean, and to listen for inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And so when you read the word faith, you might just replace it with the word trust, because it's really a relational word. It has to do with this way of responding to God's initiative. Another word besides trust would be confidence. Putting our confidence in the Lord. So, grace is God acting in our life, and we access that grace by trusting him, putting our trust in him. Let me just run through a few examples. I'm just kind of giving you a tour of some New Testament scriptures. These are not on your outline, but that further emphasize these points, and then we'll illustrate it with some examples, and we'll, in a little bit we'll get into some experiences to see if we can actually open our hearts to God's grace this evening, because that's really what we want to do here. Christy and I want to bring a style of teaching that is experiential and interactive, but we do need to begin with thinking carefully about what the Scripture is teaching in our relationship with God and in the spiritual life, because it's easy for us to get sloppy in our thinking and not study these things carefully, because this is really important stuff. We talk about the grace of God, and that's the basis of our salvation. And understanding salvation, again, it's not just getting into heaven when you die. It's your whole life growing to become more like Jesus. It's salvation is being remade into the image of Christ, little by little, becoming more like him. That's a gift of God's grace, but it's not something that we can just sit back passively and God's going to just zap us and do it to us, and then all of a sudden Bill's going to be like Jesus. A great test of whether or not God's grace has had its way with you is how active are you in the spiritual life, in your relationship with God, in ministry to others? How much activity is there? What's going on? Because when God's grace gets a hold of you, you're going to be like a 747 jet at takeoff. Grace is like the fuel. We've all known some people who are just really on fire for the Lord, not just with enthusiasm, but with a life that's dedicated to serving God and to continually drawing closer to the Lord in worship and in devotion and just loving God and loving neighbor with consistency and energy around that. That's the fruit of God's grace.
Bill, I think it's important that you clarify that you don't mean busy with our culture does, or workaholic with ministry or things like that. But that's not what you're talking about.
Yeah, so tell us more. How would you impact that?
Well, because Jesus' rhythm of life is one of spending time with the Father, and that much of his fruit comes out of solitude and silence with the Lord, and a balance there of the inward disciplines of abstinence and then the disciplines of engagement and a flow there and the fruit bearing coming out of that. It's not just about us going out and, doing all these things and being really busy for God, trying to do it all on our own strength. That's not what you're talking about.
Right. One mistake we can make would be a legalism and a self-righteousness, self-striving, ambition. And this very, Christian and I have a ministry to pastors and leaders, and so we work with people in ministry. And those of us, and most of us here, perhaps all of us, in one way or another, are in ministry, even as lay ministers. When we're in ministry, we are very susceptible to overactivity, overexertion, trying too hard, depending too much on myself, mm-hmm. trying to make things happen for God. And that's not what we're talking about here. That's not the fruit of God's grace. You see, grace is something that in the first place we rest in. We root ourselves in, like the tree. Jesus loved to use that analogy of being like a good tree. A tree that sinks its roots into the soil of God's love, draws up nourishment, and slowly but surely grows and has leaves and bears fruit. Right? This is a picture of the effect that God's grace has on a life. Fruit is born. It's fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit that's going to come from our life, in terms of loving neighbor, for instance, loving the people around us, it's going to come out of this relationship of abiding in Christ, like the tree that's rooted in the soil. So it's a relational, this is what we're talking about, faith is a relational prospect. We're trusting God, we're interacting with God. So as we're growing in intimacy with God, we're feeding on His grace. The Holy Spirit is ministering the grace of God to us in deep ways that heal hurts, ways that grow us to be more like Jesus. And this then empowers us in all the activities that we would do. So we don't want to make the mistake of legalism or self-reliant striving, because there is no self-help. That whole section in the bookstore is heresy. I mean, not necessarily all the books in there, but the idea of self-help. Mm-hmm. If you really get at it, there is no self-help. There is no hope in me unless Christ is in me. There's no hope in what I can do for my capacity to love. I might be able to be pretty nice, but my capacity to love, with agape love, is only going to come as God is alive and working in me. So we want to avoid legalism. But we also want to avoid passivity. And our in some cases, our theology takes us into a place of passivity. And so many Christians today, perhaps most people who identify as I'm a Christian have been paralyzed by God's grace. Maybe some of us, at least at some point in our life, would look back and say we were kind of paralyzed. And what I mean by that is because we've understood grace to be unmerited favor, and we don't understand it as God's power acting in my life today, and we're so oriented towards salvation is about going to heaven when I die, and we're not really understanding what our part is to grow in grace, and how do we actually become more like Jesus? What are the spiritual disciplines that we can do that help us to abide in Christ? These different spiritual disciplines are ways that open us up, open our hearts up, to receive God's grace, God's power into our life. You see? So if we've got this idea that grace is unmerited favor and heaven is secure for me when I die, sometimes we're just sort of left circling around in Romans 7 endlessly. I do what I don't want to do. What I should do, you know, I'm not doing. Oh, what a wretched person I am. Oh, but thanks be to God, I'm saved. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Right? That's what we say in our bumper sticker. I mean, that's like, see, that's what I'm talking about. It's like that is making salvation just so small. It's all about justification. But I'm forgiven. I'm treated just like I'm Christ by my faith. Well, that's true. That's a wonderful thing. But that just leaves me to hold on and wait until I get to go to heaven. I mean, what about this life? You see, well, there's an opportunity to become like Jesus. There's an opportunity for more of God's grace, more of God's heaven to get into our hearts. We become more like Jesus, you see. So some scriptures that emphasize this relationship that grace is power. 2 Corinthians, I'll give you the references in case you want to look them up later, but I'm just going to breeze through about six or seven of these, just touching on them. 2 Corinthians 9:8, Paul says, God's able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, a lot of alls, you will abound in every good work. Grace, abounding in God's grace, enables us to abound in good works. And let's not make good works too religious. I mean, when you're a mother, you're caring for your children. Those are good works. When I'm in my garden planting flowers that visitors enjoy, that those are good works. Obviously, when we help a neighbor, it's not just that, you know, I'm getting to teach this evening, so, okay, Bill's doing a good work. And there's just all, when you go to your job, and if you do your job with integrity and with earnestness, that's a good work. And the light of Christ potentially can shine through you, even if not even always with words, sometimes just with a smile. The dental hygienist told me yesterday, you're really a good patient. I wanted to explain to her, well, the whole time you've been, you know, working on my teeth causing me pain, I've been meditating on scripture and praying to help me be relaxed and keep my mouth open so long and so wide and keep from gagging. I mean, I'm very capable of becoming quite anxious in that situation. You know, but I was relying on God's grace. And he was empowering me to be at peace. And so she noticed that. And maybe someday I'll have a chance to explain that, you know, build a little bit of a relationship with her and have a chance to explain that to her. What's that?
Your mouth isn't stuck open.
Yeah. Well, a little hard to talk at that point in time. So grace helps us to abound in good works of all times. You know, in Romans 12, we read about the service gifts. These are gifts of grace, the different gifts for the body of Christ, leadership and mercy and things like this. Acts, we have many examples of this, but one is Acts 4:33. Just listen to this. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. See, power and grace. If all you think of grace is this unmerited favor, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. With great power, the apostles testified because they had this credit of righteousness waiting for them in heaven. It just doesn't, I mean, yeah, that's a great hope, but that doesn't empower dealing with people who are persecuting you. The power comes because Christ is with me. He's risen. He's right beside me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me, giving me courage. See, I'm being strengthened. Paul's story of transformation in 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 14, he refers to how the Lord has given me great strength. Of all people, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, but I was shown mercy. He says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. So here again, he's referring to God has given me strength. The grace of God has poured out on me abundantly. These two things are parallel. They're two ways of saying the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 15, we have another example of this. Verses 9 to 10. Paul says, again, referring to his story, and he says, I'm the least of all the apostles. Don't even deserve to be called an apostle. Basically saying, Peter and John and James, they show up in the limousine. I come in behind in the jalopy. They've got all this fanfare. These are the apostles that walked with Jesus. They saw him transfigured. Well, who's this small, short guy over here isn't a very good speaker? Oh, that's Paul, Ended up being, of course, one of the greatest men of God ever to live. But he's saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And you know, listen to this. And yet his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. See that back and forth? It's like, here we go, in the same sentence, we got the blue underlines and the red underlines. God's initiative and my response. You can't dice it up so neatly. It's an interaction. But the point we're stressing is that when we're really flowing in God's grace, there's going to be a power in our life. Maybe those are enough examples, but you want to reference a few more. Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to look that up, that's a great example of God telling Paul his power is made perfect in weakness. Peter teaches the same thing, 1 Peter 5:10. The God of all grace will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. There it is again. Grace will empower you, encourage you, help you persevere. And then Paul, in his charge to young Timothy, Paul was mentoring Pastor Timothy, he says, You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, that's a really good verse for our theme this evening. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 2:1. So, I wonder how you've experienced God's grace today, his power in your life. Christian, I want to share some examples of this with you. Maybe as you're beginning to think this through, we want to get this contextualized to our daily lives. What does grace look like in your life, in my life? Let me give you an example. This was a few days ago, end of last week, and I was late to pick up one of my daughters. And unfortunately, it was for a job interview. So I got her that job interview a little bit late. And there were some complicating things around this within our communication. And the drives that we had to make to get her places, one leg of the drive to drive her from her school to the job site, I hadn't done this before, and I didn't know exactly how long it was going to be. And I just trusted her to figure that out. And she set the appointment time. And so I wasn't really dialed in with the whole thing in terms of arranging all of it, but I had told her, I'll be there to get you at about 1:15. I should have been more careful to give her, I was just thinking if it was close to that time, it would be fine. Well, I was there like 1:22 or something like that, and we ended up being those many minutes late because that's how long it took to get from her school to her interview, and it was a pretty nervous thing for her. She just kept telling me to drive faster and that sort of thing, and so after her interview, she came into the car, and interestingly, I wanted to talk with her about a conflict we had had the night before, is related to this issue, over the phone, and it was a little bit difficult, and I had said to her, first of all, I just apologized that I had gotten frustrated with her. And I asked her if she would like to understand the emotions that I was going through at that time and, you know, why I got frustrated. So I shared with her a little bit about some of the ways that she was talking to me that were sort of difficult for me. But I was very careful not to be judging or blaming of her, but just helping her understand what I was experiencing. So she then, of course, felt permission to share with me some of the things that are difficult about me. And so she shared some of her emotions with me, and I'm really glad that she did. However, it was actually quite hard to hear. I felt rather criticized. I am somewhat sensitive to that, but I really felt like she didn't understand some things, and so I really wanted to, you know, defend myself and kind of correct her understanding of some things, and because I was thinking, I did, you know, decent thing here as a dad in the middle of the day to take hours out of my day and to go, you know, get her, spend some time with her, help her with her interview, and it's kind of like, you know, where's that credit of righteousness, you know? All this good that I did, and then while I was a few minutes late, and so the whole thing's kind of, you know, trashed. It's how I felt, and then she had another example where I was late, and I hadn't interpreted it that way, because it was a different kind of a situation, but nonetheless, she felt like she was waiting on me. So I'm very capable in that situation, and go far enough back in time in my past, and the way I would have responded would have been to be not just listening and empathic for her, but defensive, or gone into just feeling bad about myself, which is one reason why we get defensive with people when we feel judged and feel embarrassed or ashamed. And we try to get that person to think well of us, which is, of course, a very fruitless effort. Because even if you can make somebody think well of you, that's just your posturing. That's just your ideal self. You know, and that's ultimately, we want grace. We want to be accepted even with our weaknesses. We want to be accepted right there. So, but I didn't do that. And I asked her questions that just drew her out, and I listened to her and empathized with her. And how did I do that? Well, it was God's grace was working with me. I was relying on God with me. And I that was the fruit of my training, my growing in grace over years. In this instance, it paid off. Now, you know, my daughter would have liked to have paid off in getting me there on time. So, I mean, I have something to work on still, obviously, out of respect and consideration for her. And that's part of what was so hard for me to hear, because that actually is something I have been working on for a number of years, in fact. And so it would be a whole other subject, but I could talk with you about, you know, rhythm of life and different spiritual disciplines that we might do and how we can point those towards a particular character defect to help us grow in grace. And I think there's been some progress in my life with this particular issue of being late, being in a hurry, trying to do too much. But it's a very difficult area for me. And when you have decades of living a certain way, a personality oriented that way, maybe even genetic predispositions oriented that way, hormonal, you know, factors and biology in your body orienting you that way. And, you know, it's a hard thing to turn that ship around and be the kind of person that's relaxed and realistic and on time, or better yet, early. You know, so this is something that God has been helping me with. It was hard to get that feedback that here were two instances where I hadn't been consistent with how I'm seeking to grow in grace. But again, in that moment, the grace of the Lord supported me. Yes, because I'm forgiven. That was part of it. But it was more than that. It was power. It was power to listen to my daughter without needing to correct her impression of me, without getting defensive, and just trying to understand better how she felt, and to take seriously the feedback without going into inadequacy or a sense of worthlessness. Because just because I have a flaw or a fault or I hurt my daughter, she still loves me, first of all. But more to the point, God still loves me and accepts me. And so can I stand in that reality That's the grace of God supporting me and giving me strength to love my daughter in that situation. That's the grace of God bringing about a redemption. God brings something good out of something bad. It wasn't good that I was late for her. But the fact that we had this whole conversation, it might be, at the end of the day, that it ended up being better than it would have been had I been on time, because God uses that conversation, the conflict resolution, in my life and character, and in hers. You see? This is the grace of God. It's a power. So, Christy, you have an example to share?
Yeah, an example that I'll share. I received the grace, God's action in my life, from my mom, who prayed for me as a child faithfully. She would meet with a prayer partner weekly. They would pray for me and my sisters, and get a chance to overhear them as I was a little girl. She'd say, please get the phone if it rings and leave us alone. We're going to pray. And I received a grace in that. And then I received a grace in that God grew me in my prayer relationship with him and taught me a lot about prayer and grew me in my desire to have an intimate and ongoing prayer life with him. And then when I had children and I heard about Moms in Touch, and our school didn't have a Moms in Touch group. And so God, in his grace, inspired me and encouraged me and strengthened me to start a Moms in Touch group for my children's school. And so that, on my own, I probably would have felt inadequate or afraid, or there were difficult, intimidating things for me about starting that and about doing that and about pushing through some of the difficulties that some of the criticism from some of the non-Christians at school, or some of the unresponsiveness from the principal, or the discouragement of having nobody show up to pray with me for a meeting, and those kind of things, that God in his grace giving me the power to continue to persevere in prayer for my kids. And so that was 14 years ago that I'd started the Moms in Touch group, and have been blessed to participate with Christ in his grace these 14 years. As Bill said, grace isn't just passive. It's not something we just receive, but we also are called to be able to participate with God in what he's now doing on earth. It's not just about later being saved in heaven, but it's about getting to participate with him in his action in our life now on earth. And so as I've gotten to do that, one of the ways that I saw his grace in his hand at ACT at the high school FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Club at the high school. And so I sense God encouraging me to there once again venture on him in faith, trusting his grace to empower me to show up and start serving at those huddles. And so as I started, making that a priority, changing around my work schedule to get there to serve at the FCA huddles, a youth pastor came and approached me and said, I would really like you to come and speak to several of the youth pastors in the area that about Moms in Prayer and, what you do and how you do it, and to see how we could partner together to serve the school and the students and the staffs at the high school. So, God, there again, it's an area where I could have been intimidated to walk into this meeting of men youth pastors, and I'm the only woman. But God in his grace empowers me to do that. And so I got to do that this morning. I got to meet with this wonderful group of youth pastors who have a heart for the kids in our community and want to know, what is Moms in Prayer? What do you do? What do you do at the prayer meetings? And, how can we partner with you? And how are you partnering with FCA? And, there again, it was just an act of God's grace. And then even at the meeting, I was depending upon God's grace, and I was praying because, all these ideas and all these questions were coming at me, and I started to feel a little overwhelmed. And there again, I got to, okay, it's in your grace. It's, I'll trust you with that. And praying and listening. And then, later on today, I felt like I sensed God in his grace coming to me, showing me, okay, this is your next step with this. This is what I want you to do next. And so it was, involved sending an email. So I sat down and sent a couple emails that I felt God in his grace empowering me to do, giving me the wisdom, the strength, the ability to do that.
Thanks, honey. So I wonder how, what comes to your mind is how you've experienced God's grace, whether it's just something today, or something from the past. Could be, like for me today, this morning I had meetings with pastors, individual meetings, and you know, when I'm listening to anybody that's talked with me for counseling or spiritual direction, I seek to listen with, you know, one ear on the person and one ear on God, because I need to remind myself, and I often do remind myself, that I don't know the answers for people. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. And when I think I know what to say to people, that's usually the time I'm the least effective. It's best when I realize that I need to really just ask more questions here, have some empathy, and listen to the Lord. And so today I really, you know, just maybe more than normal, I had a sense of God guiding me as I was listening and caring for these two different pastors. So that'd be how I would answer that question. One way I would answer it. So I'm going to do something just very briefly, touch on a discipline. It's an ancient discipline called the examine of consciousness. And maybe we'll do this another time at Thirst. We're going to spend more time in quiet reflection in just a few minutes. But just for right now, I just want to take a pause. And I'm going to give us just about a minute of quiet. And I want you to just sort of reflect in prayer about your day. And just sort of run through the day as though it's like on a movie reel, and just ask the question, where did I sense God's grace? Where did I see God acting in power to guide me, to help me, to assist me? Okay? In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to give you a chance to just briefly... in a minute now, just to share with the person next to you. If you came with your spouse or a friend, just go ahead and share with that person. The person might be behind you or in front of you. So we'll just kind of get in pairs. If somebody's in a group of three, that's okay. But just each take about a minute to just sort of process, well, this was my day, and here's an example of where I sensed God's grace, and just give each other the gift of listening to that.